to the Team Bucks and Stage, Mr. Jersey.
One piece of advice, if you ever come up to Limerick and you're reading this White House, don't ever go and ask for Terry, because she's too good, but she's not good enough, that's not too right, but they never match up to them. Anyway, this is called Dump All Arms. In some hole in the ground, guns, bullets and other arguments will rust, decay, be transformed to the useless opposite of their deadly design. In time, they might even be considered abortive offering to peace, hope. But still you will be left to cope with man, and he is such a dangerous and secretive creature. He contains deep within himself bunkers where his least attractive traits are held, cavernous places where sectarianism can simmer unnoticed. Inside heads, hate and hurt can nest undisturbed and gnaw rodent-like at the sore parts of the skull, still allowing the individual to do the dull things like talk politics and pause for photographs, smiling. Thank you. This next poem I wrote actually was on the way to work to Cork one morning. The idea of this poem came to my head, so I had to read it tonight. It's called Journey. Tearing across country on another leg up the rat race, when I come face to face with a blood orange sun trying desperately to put itself above the horizon. Through the half light, trees and fields begin to appear, dressed in their white, frosted finery. A mist rose like a breath from the earth and hung unsure between ground and sky. Shadow and whispered story enveloped my senses until the world of science facts began to fade. Truth question itself, and the pagan inside me said a prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Gerard. Next up, we have yet another Limerick contender. Could you please welcome to the microphone Mr. Dominic Taylor.
I'm going to publish our poem, appropriately enough called After Christmas. It was, as they say, a traditional Christmas. We ate too much, drank too much, and fell asleep. And in between, people still died on the roads, natural disasters claimed many lives. Saviors were born, and the world began another turn around the sun. It was, as they say, a traditional. The van said, each fish lives longer. Just then the phone rang and everything changed. An icy heart picked the inside of my brain and you were gone. Now everything reminds me of you. From now on, every experience is filtered through this pain. How long is a third of a second? Enough to count a Kina an entire life. All that's left, everyday icons, a bag, disheveled, a passport with that ugly picture of you, a shredded piece of paper, and part of a head with a tooth, so we know who you are. Who are they? They eat with pomp and style, savoring every mouthful. And of course the wine just has to be right. Room temperature for red, cool for white. They indulge in polite conversations. They won't mix with the lower orders. They prefer quiet locations. Close the curtains, create borders. I just finish with this humorous over there. It's not autobiographical, very called Shoot to Kill. My wife operates a shoot to kill policy. And she can fell a man at 20 paces with one blow of her tongue. She shoots from the lip with deadly accuracy. And for target practice, she shouts at the kids. She smolders on a short fuse, ready to explode at the slightest provocation. If the dog barks, she says, "Why did you leave the dog out?" without any evidence as to who left her out. She runs the house with military precision, and there's no room for maneuver, for she can mop up any resistance while brandishing a hoover. But in between the crossfire and collateral damage, she's composed like an angel on the diatonic scale. But being a Scorpio is always a sting in the tail.
I will be discussing either with myself or with other people. The poems of Lucille Clifton. She's an American writer and she writes kind of image-based poems that are quite simple and condensed but really powerful. You can see the way they look, they're quite condensed. And what I did is I photocopied a series of poems that she wrote on foxes, but I think they're mostly about the process of writing and looking inside yourself. They're really good. So, if you can join me to have some next week, I have three poems for you. Mm-hmm. Or, alternatively, I'm expanding onto the internet, and on myspace.com, you can search for the group under Ireland called Fire and Ice Poetry. It's written on here. You can also, from any town, I'd like to do that as well, because I think that would be easier than showing up an hour early for the thing. So, either way, I'll give you... I've got six left, so preferably if you can be there and discuss them somewhere. Okay. I have the poems that was for age. So this is a poem I wrote that's actually two poems in one. I'm very visual tonight. So it's one poem that's composed of two poems inside. So the first line of the first poem is here, and the first line of the second poem is here. And it's about how you present yourself to the outside world and what's actually going on underneath as well. And it's called At the Bottle Bank. Actually, next week. Thanks very much.
Is there anyone who wants to hear at 12 a.m.? I'm sure you're here next week. This is our new back next week.
Sarah, get you back next week, you
know. Thanks, Sarah. Next up to the one to repeat that any hour.
Hi. I've been here for 3 years, so I'm going to get to get that some I'm not going to see you. This poem is cool. I think I might have read this one a few months ago, but I think there's very few people there, so. If you were there, it's unfortunate. Having been living again, gone into Togo, I was in Australia for a year, since like everybody else in the country, and I got locked out of my house, one fine time difference, and Homer wrote about it very joking. Don't need to joke every now and again. So anyway, shut up and read. Okay. As I run to the washing line, anxious of my interview at 9, I barely noticed the morning heat that day my towel in my bare feet. A stolen shower cap on my head, when a door kick turned my heart to lead. No thought, no sleep, no way back in. My punishment for 3 weeks has been, for even a childhood life of fun, a sun and surf and no work done. But now I'm in an awful mess, no food, no phone, no way to rest. I sit to contemplate my pickles, I think of all the things, I'm pickled. The sun is hard upon my face, I cannot sit here with regret. My sister will be home today, and knowing her, she will be late. The garden hums with insect flowers, and for a while I sing along. Then the sight of thunder in the shed, I cower into the rest of her. My feet don't melt as clear as shores, my muscles not as free, no more. I open bags with sweaty fingers, I hold my breath, but the scent still lingers. I find a t-shirt and some combat, I dress noisily to tear off one. I curse my hide as they drown in fabric, I know that I'm still quite tragic. I float amongst the leaves of sunset, a chimney fall and a chimney death. I wonder what I'm going to do, what if I can even do. Suddenly, instead of something rusty, my nostrils pick up a scent like rusty. A chopper hidden in the hedge, I'll make the most of this, I said. I hop on and cycle out the gate, and at the traffic lights I wait, and carrying with a strange eye, watching me while I describe. I freewheel down the cruddy hill, I pray the rusty brakes work still. I sit alone along the pier, and spot a rubbish bin quite near. The iron hits my funny bones, I laugh at kind of musty drums. The chopper calls again to me, off you go along the sea. I chew my belly waste for food, a piece of flesh to suit my needs. I take my victim with sighted eyes, I sell my tail, I get my prize. I fight alone at the sand, until at last the sun goes down. I climb the hill, my bones are weary, I am so tired, my eyes are teary. I stand and knock at the fourth door, I don't think I can take much more. I concentrate and wait and hope, then see my sister's and target move. She hesitates at my strong shape, the vision gone, come out the gate. She laughs so hard, she holds her belly, she moans and I cry and smell. She cannot talk, she cannot point, I tell her that I need a joint. She makes me find the floor bright, I tell her she's not very nice. I slam the weird plate into the shower, what a day for Annika.
Thank you, Annie. Next up, we have Mr. Jerry O'Neill.
Happy Christmas, everyone. I believe this is an Orthodox Christmas for our brethren in the eastern part of Europe. This is a song about wandering around in the bright days of summer, or the taken season. The Normans came and fortified this narrow neck of land, and to this day a crumbling keep and the battered walls still stand. Brought back into use so once again, to repel the savage gale, to keep us out from our walkabout on the old head of Kinsale. Far 'twas there we used to ramble on a pleasant summer day. Now they say we were trespassing, that we had no right of way. Where we saw the seabird soaring and the distant diving whale, in our sunny days of freedom on the old head of Kinsale. 'Twas there I learned to recognize, 'twas like a school for me, the Kittiwake and the Guillemot on the rock-faced colony. I saw the long-horned shaggy goat stride nimbly on the cliff, as down below the angler patiently cast out a fish. Yes, 'twas there we used to ramble on a pleasant summer day. Now they say we were trespassing, that we had no right of way, where we saw the seabird soaring and the distant diving whale. In our sunny days of freedom, on the old head of Kinsale. Now I don't begrudge the wealthy their exclusive sporting fields, but I can't say that I envy the exclusion they must feel, seeing off behind the barricade a barbed wire on the pale, to keep the plebs from prancing round the fairways of Kinsale. Now I don't blame the politician, nor the canny businessman, and I don't point at the media for not doing what they can. But that numbing public apathy that doesn't seem to care, I to wonder about the right to roam beneath God's pure fresh air. For our sacred constitution guards the rights of property above the common public good of the ancient liberty. To wander through our countryside on mountain, bog or vale, and to tramp the cliffs in autumn mist on the old head of Kinsale. For 'twas there we used to wander on a pleasant summer day. Now they say we were trespassing, that we had no right of way, where we saw the seabird soaring and the distant diving whale. In our sunny days of freedom, on the old head of Kinsale. One day I'll take my hiking boots, and I'll bid a last goodbye. Then I'll roam through open green fields, as I did once as a boy, to see again the bounding hare and the lark rise in the sky, to hear the keen of the peregrine or the raven's raucous cry. But instead I fear I'll find my way barred by an iron gate, with St. Peter as security commanding me to wait, as he carefully checks my ID against his laptop list, to say I'm not a member, no, nor an invited guest. Ah, 'twas there we used to ramble on a pleasant summer day. Now they say we were trespassing, that we had no right of way, where we saw the seabird soaring and the distant diving whale. In our sunny days of freedom, on the old head of Kinsale.
Thank you, Jerry. Next up the open mic, could we please have Mr. Alan Cote.
This is called compassion fatigue. The day there is too much compassion in the world, hearts will explode with happiness, wars will stop, and violence will come to a quiet end. People will look back and say, the day there was too much compassion in the world. Angels descended from heaven, opened their heavenly hearts and decreed that humanity had overcome itself finally with warmth. And dancing swirls of demons ascended from hell and beheld the tide of peaceful humanity. We're done with war, humanity said as one, and the demons danced their way back to hell, for they too were growing tired of being evil. It was becoming a drain on everyone's energy. We're done with all this evil, they said as one. Let's go and meditate with the Buddha. The day there was too much compassion in the world, hearts finally burst completely open. Lovers renounced each other, yet still loved each other, but everybody else as well. And the dancing swirls of angels descended into hell. Humanity has no more need for us angels and demons, they said. And thinking that opposites attract, they said, maybe we should get together and let's make it our place. Today there is too much compassion in the world. We will bring angels and demons together and they will make love and leave us alone in the human zone. This is how you'll know there is too much compassion in the world. The sun will kiss the moon. Music and dancing will become one. Happiness will enfold everyone. People will laugh more. Wars will stop. Lovers will send for love and have it returned to them 100 times. Sons will return to themselves. Daughters will be daughters of the moon. And son and daughters, moon and sons, will become one. And nobody will complain of compassion fatigue. Thank you. This is from John O'Donoghue, a man who died suddenly during the week. I didn't know him, and I didn't read his stuff, and I just got this as a Christmas present. It's beautiful, and I think he's someone who lived a very beautiful and open life, and I'd like to read this in memory. And this is actually one of his own blessings for someone who has died. Though we need to weep your loss, you dwell in a safe place in our hearts where no storm or night or pain can reach you. Your love was like the dawn brightening over our lives, awakening beneath the dark a further adventure of colour. The sound of your voice found for us a new music that brightens everything. Whatever you enfolded in your gaze quickened in the joy of its being. You placed smiles like flowers on the altar of the heart. Your mind always sparkled with wonder at things. Though your days here were brief, your spirit was alive, awake, complete. We look towards each other no longer from the old distance of our names. Now you dwell inside the rhythm of breath, as close to us as we are to ourselves. Though we cannot see you with outward eyes, we know our soul's gaze is upon your face, smiling back at us from within everything to which we bring our best refinement. Let us not look for you only in memory, where we would grow lonely without you. You would want us to find you in presence, beside us when beauty brightens, when kindness glows and music echoes eternal tones. When orchards brighten the earth, darkest winter has turned to spring. May this dark grief flower with hope in every heart that loves you. May you continue to inspire us to enter each day with a generous heart, to serve the call of courage and love until we see your beautiful face again in that land where there is no more separation, where all tears will be wiped from our minds, and where we will never lose you again.
One more.
So this is on the inner history of the day. No one knew the name of this day, born quietly from deepest night. It hid its face in light, demanded nothing for itself, opened out to offer each of us a field of brightness that travelled ahead, providing in time ground to hold our footsteps and the light of thought to show the way. The mind of the day draws no attention. It dwells within the silence with elegance to create a space for all our words, drawing us to listen inwards and outwards. We seldom notice how each day is a holy place, where the Eucharist of the ordinary happens, transforming our broken fragments into an eternal continuity that keeps us. Somewhere in us a dignity presides. There is more gracious than the smallness that fuels us with fear and force, a dignity that trusts the form a day takes. So at the end of this day, we give thanks for being betrothed to the unknown, and for the secret work through which the mind of the day and wisdom of the soul becomes one. Thank you.
And John. Next up to the line, could we please have Helen Kavanagh Ronan?
Despite the death threats, I waited for you, and as predicted you came, my beautiful third born, destined for fame. Famous for your smile genuine, wide open mind, ancient wise soul, and kicking sublime. You're wonderful. Thank you. There's nought you can't do, but yet you do nought. Only dwell on your wounds and bury your head with tightly squeezed mouth. In that place all black, filled with dust-ridden thoughts of ladies who lunched and never came back. They who didn't love you, they who still love you, and though not at home, have injected you with strength to add to your own. So dust down your heart and lift young white head. Pick up your mission, walk forward alone towards smiling freedom and a wonderful life. You have a job to address, a world to explore, no more wrapping up in self-pitying dress. Open mind, let stuff go, just settle the score. Brighten your face, my wonderful boy, come out of that place where you'll never find power. You must give of your gift, let it shift if you wish, for spirit to lift. There's a world out there awaiting the AMO effect. Can't deny it the pleasure. Take action, young man. Release that treasure.
Thank you, Helen. Next up to the mic, could we please call on Stephen Barra?
Thank you. to make a break from the four walls of Jesus. Weep for those wolves, lost just to see them. We've seen the sky turn red and then grey, like the last cigarette at the end of my day. The light takes the shadows away. Glasses broke. Can I do another one? Okay. I've been sitting on the street for weeks and that hasn't happened, so I'll sing another one. And it's the song was done by Johnny Cash originally. And it's called Rose of My Heart. We're the best partners this world's ever seen. Together we're close as can be. But sometimes it's hard to find time in between and to tell you what you mean to me. You are the rose of my heart and you are the love of my life. A flower not faded, nor falling apart. If you're cold, let my love keep you warm. Rose of my heart. And when sorrow holds you in its arms of clay, its raindrops that fall from your eyes. Your smile is the sun, come to earth for a day. You brighten my blackest of skies. You are the rose of my heart, and you are the love of my life. Flower not faded, nor falling apart. If you're cold, let my love keep you warm. Rose of my heart. So hard times are easy tax, what do I care? I wouldn't change a thing if I could. The tears and the laughter are things that we share, and your hand in mine makes it good. You are the rose of my heart, and you are the love of my life. A flower not faded, nor falling apart. If you're cold, let my love keep you warm. Rose of my heart.
Yeah. Okay, now we have in Roy. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you. Next up to the mic, could we please welcome Mr. Gene Barry.
Thanks, Bob. And thanks for tonight, sorry, you were outstanding. Brilliant. Thank you, Lee. First of all, here is Paul, the logistic expert. I saw this from Stephen today. I was out in my father-in-law's farm, looking at the top of the yard, and the cattle were streaming across them, giving a lash. Logistic expert. A fading slipstream pressed the horizon at the top of the yard, slowly falling its way with sad, penniless faces, awkwardly adjusting to an empty load. Their unbonded hidden closely, excited and nurtured by a latex tip, clueless. A line of pitiful sets of eyes following each other, menu after menu, multinational cuisine tailored as ever, in shite and dirt and grass. Lasagna, pot roast, Irish stew, carbonara, avocado, dinette and steak. Muck appreciators, logistic experts, production line autos wearily trudging towards their shiny number plates. Thank you.
next one is a sonnet called Nectar Men. Their world unroofed to seize a temple that would see you pandered hands to outstretched hand. The hands of Phidias who found you bare, no shame to call or blame you by and by. Your knee-bent world awaited flocks of drones and lesser mussels, for it is you who will take his stride among the captains and the kings. The water seems to please, you swam your life, made full by Shaq, who sacrificed his son, a brim-filled sinner. The scoring ring, it knew your scent and left your fit for you to keep keen. Though in your wisdom you choose to dance your game of life beneath the eyes of El Caracol, in your unwilled wheeled chariot. Thank you.
I did a last one here I wrote, and the poetry chicks were here a couple of weeks ago, and they arrived with their... if you remember, Edward would remember that night. Do you remember after Betty Jude? Yeah, well, I got it upstairs with the chicks. Anchored astutely amongst amigos, Awesome Abbey audibly advanced as an army astute audience allied around alcohol and analysing adult apples. Altogether assembles as beautiful blonde brown bleated braid black beyond belligerent barriers, beaten blatantly beneath broadcast, beautifully banned by boyish brave beaches, beaming by beckoning badly beaten, confused, confluent corpse camaraderie, communities catching, collapsed cap, cubely caressed, crashing common codes, ceaselessly combing. Combining certain core conditions, cute casely, calmly centered, careering delectable Doherty, dancing determined decibels, deliberately delivering didactic doses, theory dedicated deservedly, desisting, deranged, desolately, despairing, deprecatory dirges. Thank you.
Next up to the mic we have Finbar. I'm going to read this poem by Tara. It's dedicated to all the protesters and archaeologists who have sought to preserve Tara in all its glory. And it's called Tara Abu. O Tara, you are resplendent in your beauty. O Tara, you weep for mercy of the motorway mile. From the executioners dressed in suits, the vultures of our culture. All to rid Liz Mullen of our sight would be a crime against our identity and rob us of our patriotic personality. A misfortunate blemish, a terrible blight. We must raise arms, prepare to vanquish and banish those who oppose us. No more shall Tara toil with this concrete jungle. A veritable altogether. No more shall they strangle our heritage. O Tara, we revel and rejoice in your splendor, our national treasure. Dotted with sacred sites, a delight to visit. Holy wells of water so crystal clear from which to drink. Sacred trees are magnificent mounds, forming the bosom of our heartland. The Leo Fall stands proud and tall. Remember, take heed, respect the sheed. Move away now, redirect your cursed road, or face the eternal consequences of your actions. Beware the fury so great that will befall you. Respect our wishes, for you know they are true. Tara is growing, Tara Abu, girl mother. Actually, I think
tomorrow is the day that the National Roads Authority gets their bulldozers into the photo, actually, tomorrow. They've finished preserving it inch by inch, and there's a huge big protest going on tomorrow. Yes, one of the 10 finds of 2007 worldwide, isn't it? And that's my full conversion. So tomorrow, I'm 40 days, so anyway. All great news. Should be more depressed than that, don't worry. You should have phones with Shannon going and Burner Boy
Westport.
And all these things, right?
Westport.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but it's the same for Sarge. We might get some kind of political elements in here trying to kick this out of the place. Do you think that's possible? Do you think we'll be able to blow them away with words of fire and streams of spewing speech, right? Poetry. I'm sure we could. Promoters. Next up to the open mic, Patricia Walsh.
So through the stone and the intermittent bone. Are these bones any more beautiful now? The queen of everything is a handful of metal, though human flesh is disposed of them, as the edge of the tips that show off their wares at the correct angle of sunlight. Stacked collectively, no name recognizable, but collective, whilst to moth and lichen, the names of their attenuations to have all this delight. And this one is called The Alabaster Saint. Permanent once was the way to go. Etched in alabaster to forever smile, to attend the glory of God, or the constant shuffle of mortals at designated times. Yet I, fellow, indifferent, have seen and not remembered the saved and kind London gates such as we. Sunken lies, etched trips, births, death marriages, on your attempted anonymity, a stony smoke has seen it all. You could do with reservation yourself, of time stripping off gilt, colour, pigment, spare brushes, grandeur, laughing indifference at your creator, hammering and choosing your future, but mark my words, you live without living. Thank you.
School just a few more to go. Next up to the open mic, Mary O'Connell.
Okay, this is a question of Spot the Ponds. About 2 years ago, a lorry over-tipped and spilled out a whole lot of hens, which kind of stopped the traffic in Cavan for a few hours. So to celebrate this, I wrote, "Clucking hell!" In Cavan, at the crack of dawn, a dreadful crash occurred. Unable to go round a bend, a trucker got the bird. To be precise, 6,000 birds who tipped out on the road. A hen party was cancelled due to the overload. Not egging one another on to make their great escape, the silly fluckers just sat down to roost in such a scrape. Some hens were plucked to safety, while others just laid low. Keeping abreast of such a nest made driving rather slow. Hens even started laying eggs on the highway's dotted line, a free range, of course, and poached by reckless grunts trying not to get a fine, or be obliged to shell out for a meal at Bart's expense, fearing that their imperfect past might make their future tense. If the truck was overloaded, as some pundits seem to say, Gardee might yet investigate a question of
Thank you, Mary. No comments on that. Next up to the open mic, Mr. Shane Harrington.
This is not a drill. Scramble nets empty and ready for the next shot fired in anger. 2 hours to go, 6 months of duty. Second best was never our aim. A drizzle, every drop, every micron, exposed under the arc lights, the start of a green wave, heaving and weaving across our field of vision. Hovering and swelling and surging, roaring down our flanks again and again like the great ocean stretch. Lookouts, one sniping, glass wiping, next text typing, flag hyping. A genie, grey as a battleship, fat as a school of bull seals, twirling over rails, swirling and curling past ensign and stanchion in its guts. An orange flare signals, intense as the tang of gunpowder. We wait, nerves taut as a guy wire. Shortly, our fate will be sealed by whistle and semaphore. That tannoy is frantically squawking, a roll lost in the flutter and flatter of a chopper in cloud overhead. A foghorn's blare cut off in mid-note. Cacophony signals the skipper bursting from the war games room, mascot and crew in close formation. He hits the deck running, a dozen drums drowned by 16,000 hands. Clap, clap, the rebel army. Clap, 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 the rebel army. Clap, clap, the rebel army. The shed explodes. Sunroof just a shade open, 6 speakers blaring, be glad to escape. Random quartet cheers, away goal in perfect pitch at the barber shop. I was warned a long time ago not to attempt to write a poem about writing. So that's okay, because this is about writing, about not writing. I've made a slight correction in pages 1 and 2 that alters my complexion, but not my point of view. I've made a slight correction in pages 2 and 3. I'll practice this dissection beyond the nth degree. I've made a slight correction in pages 3 and 4. In line with your direction, that sometimes less is more. I've made a slight correction in pages 4 and 5. With solemn introspection, I scan my sloppy drive. I've made a slight correction in pages 5 and 6. The strains of imperfection take root in lexic tricks. I've made a slight correction in pages 6 and 7. The blizzards of rejection obscure my way to heaven. I've made a slight correction in pages 7, 8. It's such a sad reflection on all my work to date. I'll make no more corrections in pages 8 or 9, betraying my predilection in every single line. I tipped one last correction, exploding myths and then deleting every section I pulverized my pen. Have to have a couple of limericks or limericks. Young lady. A young lady with ardor to quell caused some Tories to feel so unwell. She was having it off with the spy Ivanov and Johnny Profumo as well. Outside. She dawns for Bacardi and Coke and catches the eye of that bloke. Come follow me, not waving my feet, we're just going outside for a smoke. To finish off, lit crit. Your pieces are really a bore, not going to take it no more. I'll rent a crowd with placard and shroud to show you a lot less is more.
We've got two people left on the open mic. It's still a bit of time, so if any of you who haven't got on to it would like to take a singing shout. But next up, Mr. George Hine.
I'll start the spot of him, because I think the organ is close. And he also mentioned something about knocking it up to right. This is called What Night. I'm sure all of you have watched Cole and watched the fire and started to mention that we're going to write something brilliant. This is called What Night. The sound of coal collapsing in the fire grate have roused me. I saw the last spark dance away into the disappearing night. What night, do not leave me. The daytime ashes are still warm. Now hold my dreaming gaze down until creeping light. Sleep, do not claim me. You devourer of all short thought. There are embers in the heart that can be wrought. Taste, armor, eventually cajoled along the ancient footprints of the road. That's it. From my stolen city, there are two voices in it. One voice was an ancient voice, one voice was supposed to be a modern voice. No one seems to remember when we lost our city, because memory isn't in it, therefore there is no crime. We lost our language also, when we were crawling numb from ditch to field to port to sail off paradigm. But there is no loss, nothing is missing. No one cried at the edge. Atlantis drowned and is forgotten. Lichen grew and smothered rocks. The law braves at me, puts out a pan for any arm, threat or not. And all dressed up the crater rests behind gold bars with silver locks. There is no they there. They have vanished into grey books with pages without conference, so no one is left to blame. It is we who are the day, whispering about ourselves, among and around ourselves, unknowing we are the name. My kingdom of anxiety holds only one king, living in absentia, hence my state of constant fear in the city of culture that's been gazed long, and Derek Lipton bridge to gaze. Brutal landscape rises like a glass virgin mushrooms, ignorant of the seasons that turn relentlessly round. No need to wait anymore, just limp along the lanes, while they tear through tireless halls that unholy sacred ground. My continuing city, the city that continues to continue, kills me, and that is why I continue, with or without memories. But memories can be cruel. Sometimes even dogs are considered. And remember. I remember when the holy man came at the top of the river, and things changed after that. Things always changed. Here, in the stereotyped street, shadows fall from the new light, but now it is the night. And so I search for the moon in that bright sky tonight. All the stars cross the sky, made the universe all bright, but I did not find the moon at all, the thing that spread the light. I could not find it, even if I had planned, but in the back room, where the grey man sits, poor weeks. Dressed in dull weeks, with dumb voice money speaks, the agoraphobic in-camera point of his pen is razor sharp. Decapitates with a sad sigh, beech, ash, oak, leaves no bark or willow to cry at the graying of the land, with cement coat, oblivious to wear. Generations later, somebody maps says trees were there. I remember when the long ships came through the harbour, tossing out the ballast of Bibles and carved stones, but clutching closely the golden past. Things changed after that, they always do. But still, this is my city. And like Dido's, all lights will go out eventually from those rising towers with tongues all of Abel counting down the hours. The post place near the madhouse is enveloped with weeds, and the madwoman still searches for a home, still hungry. Down by the quays, all our needs are stamped by monuments of brutalism which only feeds the hunger of our government. Ah yes, this is my city, where gold mounts up in bars and dazzles without pity. The oligarchs will not be spoke to tailor's nag. Could life be only one blue bag? This time the big ships were invited only to leave us down and drown in freezing rain. Later we pleaded with Mr. Brown for a few shillings from the crown only to be crowned down. In my tricky dreams I saw the worms, poop flies, dead birds flying, strange animals from Africa dying of thirst after the reservoirs had burst. I saw an Sackerman, state stations, and paunches, four-legged dealers, and inside the big white tent, Mr. 1%, dealing out the cards, nitty-gritty, in my golden city.
Next up we have Mr. Aaron Lewis.
I'm going to read a poem and then I'm going to tell a story and then I'll read another poem. Okay. It's off, you're reading it. I have no edit. Some of you saw your poems before. I know it sounds bizarre, but it reminded us of your mom. We have to say a quotation, and then from the quotation we have to write a poem from the quotation. So the quotation is, life is a succession of moments, to live each one is to succeed. Life allows us to be free in a moment. It is when we sing out our own song, a huge opportunity to show off your new hat. At last you say, with each succession of kings, we are the united ones. What is it that plays the rhythms of nature? It's in a moment's expression truly lived out. To truly be yourself and follow your own soul, that is to live. Each and every day we exalt in our own chosen expression, one person to another. Is it the moment or the expression of it? What is it that we are truly about? To be still and truly know our own unique path, that is what it means to live and ultimately succeed. I've done a lot of hitchhiking in my time, and hitchhiking from Galway to Sligo in June 2006, and I was, there's a spot that I get picked up, I get a bus from Galway City to this little spot that takes you out under the Sligo Road, and I was waiting to get out. The spot where I usually would stand to get picked up, there was someone else waiting, so I thought I'd wait for them to get picked up first. So I put my headphones on and listened to my music, and within 5 or 10 minutes this person got picked up. I don't know if they were hitchhiking, they might have been just waiting for a lift, but they were in the spot anyway, and I just wanted to give them. So I went to the space where I would get picked up, and I was standing there for about 5-10 minutes, and this black Mercedes pulls up with a middle-aged couple in the car, and they're from Donegal, and they were going from Galway up to Donegal, but on the way to Donegal they were stopping off in Sligo to go to a lighting centre. They had a hotel in Donegal, and they were putting an extension on the one that was with chandeliers. So they took me into the lighting centre, and they were saying, what do you think of this, and do you think we should get that one, do you think we should get this one? They were really kind of, they felt like I was their grandson or something, almost trying to bring me into their experience, which was lovely. And I really had a nice chat with them in the car and everything, and then they said, we're going into Sligo town, we'd like you to join us for lunch, so we went to dinner, and I went to pay for my dinner, and they went, no, it's on us, we really enjoyed your company, and they invited me to stay in the hotel in Donegal, which I have never done yet, but I intend to. I thought that was an amazing story in itself, was getting hitchhiking in the middle of Galway and getting picked up and getting invited to stay in the hotel. I told that story to a friend of mine in Newcastle, a girl called April, and her mum's from Donegal and her father's from Newcastle, from Morpeth, Northumberland. And she said, it's really funny, she says, I used to play in an Irish traditional band, and she says, I used to play and hit this guy's hotel. She gets hired all the time to play in this guy's hotel. So this person who I was hitchhiking picked me up and invited me to stay at the hotel, and this girl I used to live with, they knew each other quite well. So that was one coincidence that happened. Yeah. Well, I call it synchronicity, but some people call it serendipity. But serendipity, synchronicity. So I was telling this story to a Belfast man in Newcastle. Me and a friend were sitting having some breakfast in a hotel in Newcastle, and I was telling this story to this Belfast guy, and then he said, "Oh, that's where I stayed last night, this hotel." So I told the story again, this story just keeps going on and on and on, and then I told this story to a girl who I met in Mayo, and I said, do you know Barry Jackson, that's the name of the guy? She says, yeah, that's my cousin. It's smart, like, it keeps going on and on, and then I was on the train coming back from Newcastle to come to Holyhead to get the ferry across to Dunleavy to come back down to Cork on Saturday. And the first guy I spoke to, the first Irish person I spoke to since I left England, was a guy sitting across from me on the train, and I got chatting with him. And he's from Donegal, and I said, have you ever heard of a place called Ballybuffet? He says, I'm from Ballybuffet. I says, do you know a guy called Barry Jackson? He says, yeah, he's one of my best friends, and still used to go to school with him. So it was like, wow, this is like, it's continuing on this coincidence. So I was sitting on the train, I'm alone on the train, and I met a guy from Scotland, a guy from the Orkney Islands, 2 years ago, a guy called Finn McLeod, and he invited me to a Robert Burns poetry night 2 years ago. Robert Burns is a, for those who don't know, is a Scottish poet, and every year people get together and the Scottish men dress up in kilts to tell the story of the haggis and sit and eat, drink whiskey. We start on the cheapest whiskey or we start on the most expensive and work with them to the Tesco whiskey or whatever. So he invited me to a Robert Burns night 2 years ago. And me and Finn have became great friends, and Finn actually moved from Cork recently to Limerick to do a course, to do a research course at the Limerick University. And I got in this total random little place, the train pulls into this train station in Rhyl, which is in Wales, and Finn gets on the train. I'm coming away from Newcastle, he's totally randomly, and we just sat with each other. And I told him coincidence that I've had before, and he's quite intellectual, and he's a mathematician, he's actually a doctor, and he's got a doctor in maths, and he's there, and he got it this time, so I got to spend this time with Finn. So yeah, that was just a story I just thought I'd share with you. I'm going to share a poem now, and that'll be me. Has anybody recovered from the party that we had just before Christmas? It was mad. I was going home at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were going to work, like I said.
Welcome to
students, though. I know, it's
amazing.
Okay. this is a slam, one of the slam poetry, a poem that I wrote from the slam night, and I like it, and I haven't, I'm going to read it again anyway, so. Prosperous opportunities spring forth in an age of realizing dreams. Love and poetic souls run free. Shining beams christen my face, my love of life, the expression of the moment in its purity. Colors spring forth, turquoise, violet, and magenta sing out the colors of day. New developed experiments of the worldly order, cranes, combine harvesters, and bulldozers attack, scaffolding the freedoms of innocent life, scaffolding the freedom of innocent lives. What will we do? What will we say? Where will we go? Maybe it's time for a revolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Just a couple more poems left tonight. So next up, could we welcome Kuan Manners.
This is called Close Relation. Fuck it! Why do you have to drink so much?
Next up, the open mic, could we please welcome Mr. Brian McElroy.
Hello. This is my first one here, and this is the first poem I wrote. So, I'm studying medicine in UCC, and so this is some of my feelings towards that. To practice medicine, there's no need much discipline. Massive commitment and hard work is expected. Is the end result that we feel disconnected. Doctors, nurses, patients are labels used to describe. Why can't people see we are human, whether or not we prescribe? I hope I can find my way and make a dollar in this clearing, because sometimes others life and death can seem arbitrary.